But God said we on time.
Once again, for coming in and fellowshipping with us and tuning in with us and getting the word of God and an enrichment for your life. We thank you, God. It's truly going to be a blessing for you guys. And as we usher in the spirit, oh Holy Ghost, thank you, oh God. Listen to me and more of you, oh God. We thank you, yes, Holy Ghost. We thank you, God, for this day, oh God, like never before, oh God. As we continue to do your work, God, like never before, oh God. We thank you, God, for each and every moment of day that you bring forth in us, our life, oh God. We thank you, God, for waking up us up this morning. We breathe on us, oh God, because many didn't get this pleasure this morning, oh God. It's truly a pleasure to God to be up with you, oh God, this morning. We thank you, God, for this, oh God. We thank you for the strength, God. We thank you for the courage, oh God. We thank you, God, for the vitality, oh God. We thank you, God, for the know that you do all things, God, and we have no sorrow, God, that you're working things out, God, before us, God, and we shall not worry or tarry in the spirit, God, knowing that you are doing your work, oh God. You are awesome, God. You do your word, and your word does never come back void, God. We thank you, God, for this, oh God. We love you, God, forevermore, oh God. We thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus Christ. We thank you, God. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for the things that you're doing in our life, oh God. We thank you, God, for the things that you're pouring into our life, God. We thank you, God, for the men and women, God, that you've brought forth in our life, God, that given us the enrichment of our life, God, given us the education, God, and given us the full word and spectrum of you, oh God. We thank you, God, for these men and women, oh God, because truly, God, they were sent from you, oh God. Continue to pour in them, God, like never before, oh God. We thank you, God. Continue, God, to cover us like, God, you've covered us like thus this, oh God. Let us know, God, it is not our own will and way, oh God. It is your way, God, that you have us to do the things that you're having us to do right now, oh God. We thank you, God, for this, oh God. Let us know, God, that we move out our way, us out of your way, oh God. All things will be pleasant, oh God, and our life will truly be a blessing unto you, oh God. We thank you, God, for this covering, oh God. We thank you, God, for keeping us, God, when we didn't want to keep ourselves, oh God. We thank you, God, for this, oh God. Thank you, God, for continuing, God, to continue, God, to lift me up, God, and continue to make me strong, God. Continue, God, to walk into the anointing that you have in my life, oh God, like never before, oh God. I will never sleep, oh God. I will never lay down again, oh God. I will thank you, God, for this, oh God. I will continue to stand up, God, no matter what, oh God, even in my bed, God, if I have to lay down, God, and praise your name, oh God, we shall praise your name. We thank you, God, for this, oh God. We thank you, Jesus Christ, Holy Ghost. Thank you, God, for pouring on us, oh God, your Holy Spirit, oh God, your evidence strong in God, internalness in our life, oh God. Continue to, God, make us pure and hard, oh God, like you've known before, God. We come before you humbly, God, as we know. We thank you, Jesus Christ, for this. We thank you, God, for this blessing that you've given us this day, oh God. We thank you, God, for this Monday. We thank you, God, for thank you, God. Hallelujah. It's in your name, God, we praise your name like never before. I love you, God. I love you, Jesus. Holy Ghost, it's in your name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen, amen, amen. What a mighty God we serve. We just can never be so, ever get tired of serving God, ever saying amen, ever, yes and amen. Just making God, just making him know that his presence is needed. It is an awesome thing. The song this morning said that God is an on-time God, and it just fits right in to the topic that we will be talking about today. And the reference scripture is 2 Kings 4, verses 1 through 7, when the widow, there was a widow, and she cried out to Elijah. Her husband had died, and it was to the point that she could not pay her debt. And back in that time, you would either sell yourself as a slave or your children. But the beauty of this story is that the widow cried out, and the cry out was a release. The cry out was a release. She was at a state of brokenness. She was at a state of desperation. And most of all, she was at a place of humility. And that humility brings on humbleness. And when it comes to the humbleness and the humility, being humiliated, and it takes you into a stage of brokenness, it is an awesome and a beautiful thing. And I can reference this. I identify, but I can tell my own story, and so many of us can. And I want to say to you today, the topic that I chose is Fill me up, Lord, until I overflow. Because, see, when we get into a place of brokenness, that means when you get into a place of brokenness and humility and an area of desperation. And see, I'm not talking about that desperation for the world, because the world is what we have allowed the worldly things, the natural things, to fill us up. Let me break it down to you. Then when I say the worldly, the natural, we take on hate. We take on deceit. We take on malice. We take on, you know, just being a backstab, unforgiveness, a hard heart, you know, all of these different things, drunkardness, whoremonger, addictions, homosexuality, what different things that is not tough, is not presentable to God. So when we get to a place, as this woman was, we use it as a reference, or let me use myself. When we get to a place when we realize that God is on our side, that we can't do anything without God, we get into a place where we know if we cry out that he's going to be there because he's an on-time God, that means that we have came to a place where we have released everything. We've released all of those different things, and it's a process. We've released those different things, and they're no longer there. So when we get to our Father, we're an empty vessel. We're a broken vessel. And that's the beauty part, because then that's when he starts putting us back together. He starts fixing the cracks that's in the broken place. We're empty. He has to fix those cracks that's there. So when he starts pouring back into your life, then it's no cracks for the water. It's a sealant there, a sealant that was put there by God, and only God can break it again. See, you have to be into a place where you so broken and you realize that God, if I can just get through your presence, if I could just do it all over again, if you could just help me clean myself up, I'm ready for you to mend or to fix or to seal what was broken. And we have to come to God as a broken vessel, an empty broken vessel. So when this lady cried out, when she did a release to the man of God, she released and she cried and she told him what her story was. She told him what was going on. He said, what can I help you with? Who is God asking today? Because you're at a place now of brokenness. You're at a place now where you're ready to be sealed. You're at a place now where you're ready for him to start pouring some things back into your life. Who is God talking to today? Because see, we all should at one point in time in our life get tired of playing with him. I got that from last night. Jesus, hallelujah. When you get to the place where you stop playing with God and you recognize, Lord, I got all of this stuff that's not appealing to you, Lord. My mouth, when I open my mouth, is not acceptable to you, Lord. Every time my actions, Lord, you're not receiving the glory for my actions, Father God. So I need a release, Lord Jesus. I got to cry out to you. I have to cry out and ask for your help. And you cannot do it worrying about what the naysayers and the everybody else is going to say, because see, it's personal. It's between you and God. Everybody else that's around, they just lookers. They're not the doers. See, when you get to that place, it's only one remedy. It's only one solution, and that solution is God. That solution is Jesus, who went on the cross and saved me and you as sinners. That solution is the Holy Spirit that's now going to be the person to lead you and to guide you. But it has to be a release. You have to go as an empty vessel. You have to. You must do it. And as you are an empty vessel, and you've taken all of the junk out of there, all of and then God has to sit and massage different areas. Hallelujah. With his holy oil, that oil, I got to go in there and I got to massage those arteries because they harden around the heart. I got to make sure go in there with a little scraper, but I need to loosen some things. Hallelujah. I need to loosen some things that's deep down in that soul. I got to do some things. So when I get ready to start pouring in, it's going to be received. And when you get to the place where God starts pouring in, and I'm going to let Minister Shakita tell some of the things that God had to take to start pouring back in her life. But one thing that I will sit and say that God had I'm going to start it off. One thing that I will say that God had to start pouring back into my life, he had to give me that unmeasurable peace. He had to pour that peace in there. But see, he had to go in there and put a solution, that oil in there, that oil to put back inside it to make sure that it was no decay in there, that it was no stubbornness left in there. Because once I went to him with my brokenness, and my vessel got empty, everything was taken out. And when I did the release, I was crying. I helped me, Lord. I was asking him to bring the fruits of the Spirit into my life. I don't want just anything. I was being specific. We need to be specific when we're talking to God. We need to let him know exactly what it is that we need in order for us to get to the place where he can use us, in order for us to get to the place where he will get the glory. Because listen, we are nothing, but he is everything. We are his chosen vessels. And because we are his chosen vessels, that means we got to come with our A game at all times. We can't slip and slide. We can't come with a little bit or nothing. Y'all already know. We already talked about courtship. When you get ready to go out on a date and you find somebody and you coming with your A game. I wear a ponytail all the time. Oh no, I'm going to get that hair done. Sometimes my fingernails and toenails not done. Oh no, I'm going to get those done too. Because I have to present myself. And God says we have to present ourselves to him as a living sacrifice. And that's why we have to go to him as an empty, broken vessel. Come on in here, Minister Chiquita.
In order to do that, you have to look. Apostle taught us one Sunday. He had a sermon called The Man in the Mirror. You have to look in the man in the mirror and be able to accept the things of you that's not of God in order for you to change it. You can't accept it to the point where it's okay. You have to accept that, okay, I did these things. I got to move on from this point. I got to get up, brush myself up. I got to get ready with God. Ask God to remove those things. If you're not physically able to remove the things like addiction and gossip and the lying spirit and the lustful spirit and different things that you can ponder and hold inside of you and in your spirit that'll block you from what God's pouring into your life. These things that we have to clean up out of ourselves, we lean on to God. Ask God for those things. Me, myself, personally, I had a problem. I had a problem with worrying. I had an anger problem, and that the worrying brought me into anger. And I didn't realize it until it got brought into the forefront that in certain situations, I was allowing me to get in myself and my feelings, and I was blocking certain people. People were leaving me out of my life that should have been, I should have been able to tap into them because I was into self. I had got into self. And you have to become so ready and tired of all the old stinking thinking and all the old things that you have going on in your life, that to the point you didn't want nothing but your peace. And that's all I wanted. I just wanted my peace back. I was nervous. I was always upset. I was always worrying about something. I couldn't sleep at night. I just wanted my sense of peace back. I just wanted my joy back. And when I got into the book of God and started reading the word, me knowing that God is already, he was already in the midst of the things. If I look back at everything, things that I was worried about, I shouldn't have even worried. He had to pour into me the things that I'm going, it's going to be okay, Shakita. You got it. I got this for you. You've already worked it out. I need you to be still. I need you to sit down. I need you to be quiet. I need you to shut up. Like, you have to listen to, heed the word and take it. Don't take it as it's something that is trying to hurt you. Because just like the man of God, like in 17, with the lady with the oil, when she went to Elijah, the man of God gave her orders. He gave her something. He gave her something to do. You have to be willing and able to receive the word and do the instructions that God have you to do. You're not going to be able to do that with your old mindset, your old heart, your old feelings, the old way of thinking that you have that got you thus this far. Say thank you to it and say goodbye at the same time, because you have to remove the oldness to receive the goodness, the oil that God is pouring into your life. I could not receive any of the things that I got right now or work in any of the places that I work right now with that temple that I had. Surely that person that I worked for, my employer, would have told me, get out his face. You can't work in here. Go home. And that's just him being him, the true man of God, because in trueness, it's order. It's order. And it's peace. And it's not anger. It's love. I had to learn these things. These are the things that God had to pour into me. I had to remove myself out of the way. I had to clean myself up. And it's all going back to self. You have to get into a relationship with God to where you see your flaws and you go to him and you ask him for your help. You ask him for everything you need. And back to you, Evangelist.
Hey, ma'am, and Sister Shakita, you are absolutely right. The first thing is that self-imaging that we were taught, for those that do not know, at ABM, is we were taught that we have to identify self. You have to look at the man in the mirror. And as I said and stated, when you're looking at that man in the mirror, there are things that you have to release. You have to. And sometimes it's a little bit hard to release some things. We like to hold on. As I stated, they rotted in there. They decayed. They it's so old because it's such a familiar thing that we just keep going on and on and on doing the same thing, not realizing that we continuously filling ourselves up with unwanted things, unpleasant things. Sin, it stinks in God's nostrils. I mean, so we just get into a familiar place. And like I said, the beauty is that when you get to that self-imaging and you are able to release, you start speaking, you start throwing different things out in order. And then when you get to God, when you call out to him, he's there. And that's where that on-timeness comes. Well, me and Minister Shakita is just going to sit back now, put your seatbelt on, Minister Shakita. And I urge the rest of you all to do the same thing, because the next voice that you hear is going to be our very own apostle. And we are so grateful and thankful. And we both can say today, and I am speaking for Minister Shakita, because I know that she feels the same way, that It may not be easy, but God is an on-time God, and we realize that we needed to seek some wisely godly counsel, and that's where, and that's what keeps us striving, because we have yet to arrive, but it keeps us striving to make differences in our lives. It keeps us striving to become that empty vessel that God chooses for us. Good morning, Apostle Temple.
God bless all of you. Thank God for each and every one of you. God is good, my God, and his mercy endures forever. Thanks, God. Let me tell you something. You're blessed, because one thing about God, when God began to pour different things out and he began to teach, amen, that is the true ultimate blessing. It's much more than a house calls and all that kind of stuff there, because you can get this stuff and you have not been taught how to keep it, you'll lose it. And, you know, and that's you got to understand that. And a lot of people need to understand the ultimate blessings of God is his teaching. It's his instructions. He's giving you things to where the average person probably would charge you thousands of dollars to come to a seminar or come to a service that where you have to go and patronize a ticket, because they understand how valuable this information is, you know, and you need to invest into something. So it's a whenever you could come around a table and you got individuals could really pour out, amen, different things and a lot different things, that you are blessed, because that is the ultimate blessings of God. It ain't about the houses, cars, finances, and different things that is increases in your life, because I tell anybody, if you never been taught how to keep these things, you eventually will lose it. It'll eventually come up from under you. If you ain't been taught and have discipline how to manage and save and budget finances, them finances just going to leave from you. So it's a blessing, you know, to where God began to do different things and begin to pour out different things. Once again, God bless all of you all. We just thank God for you all, and we just give him the praise. Amen. One thing I want to help you all out with is two sides of this fence as evangelists. And also Minister Shakuita, they was talking about and being talking about being broken. They pretty much was coming from a place of brokenness, from a humble state. Amen. A humble, you know, when you begin to come into a place of brokenness, you come into a place to where you're being humble and you got humbleness going on and different things like that. Well, I want to talk on the other side of the fence. I want to help you to begin to see some things on the other side of the fence, because you got to understand and just take a step back and look at that word broken and look at that word, what broken really is. Just imagine you have a cup, and the cup or a bottle, amen, and the bottle has substance in it. What is the substance? Whatever liquid or whatever is holding. You know, a cup or something that a cup or a bowl, it is designed to hold something in it. Regardless if it's food, regardless if it's liquid, regardless of whatever it is, it's designed to hold something in it. You designed to hold something in you. You designed. That is what God designed you for, to hold things in you, regardless of if it's good, if it's bad, if it's negative, or if it's not negative, if it's positive, or what if it's not positive. You still designed to hold something in you. And many people have to understand that, that God designed you to hold something in you. Now let's get to this place to where that what you are holding, or the outer part that is being holding something up, that piece become into a place of being broken. It's become broken for a reason, and it becomes broken because what you holding, God cannot use no more. God cannot use it. It's too contaminated. It's not of his use anymore. Amen. Because it's not of value, because what you got in you is too contaminated. Now, you got to understand, when something is broken, what it was holding, you lose all of that. That began to lose. If you ever broke a bottle or broke a glass that had liquid in it, guess what? That liquid is no more good. That liquid comes out. So everything that you was building up, God began to take you into a place of being stripped. You come into a place where you don't even must have it no more. See, you got to make sure you really define, really understand and take a step back, because a lot of times when you begin to come into this place of nakedness and being stripped and God is really stripping you, a lot of times that does bring on humbleness. Sometimes, you know, I tell people quick, even though I hear all that and people begin to apologize and begin to come into a place, I still have an eye on you. Reason why? Because you never know where a person are until things begin to get built back up in their life. How many times God got to take people and take the saints of God into a broken place? God is not trying to keep breaking you, because as he keeps breaking you, you got to understand, you first have to be replaced. Regardless if he want to rebuild or remend what is broken or replace that is broken. After that is broken, you got to understand a lot of your ways and a lot of your thoughts and everything about you, this is where humbleness come in, that you should have been leaked out of all that stuff about you. So now God got to replenish you. Now you got to go back to a stage to where you already came from to get it right. You got to go back to a place, to my God, that you already visit. Now you got to go back and get it right. Because why? You got to put the right substance in what is being held up. Now the right substance has to get inside of you for God to prove and for God to continue to take you to levels and levels and continue to increase your life. If God got to keep breaking you, that means you got a lot of nonsense and a lot of issues going on in your life that you failed to put in the right thing. People is in that state to where they hear God and they hear the word and they really stand but they still want to do what they want to do. So because you want to do what you want to do, then what God is trying to do with you and for you, it becomes contaminated. He got to break that thing. He got to break that whole vessel. Why? Because he cannot use it. Even the bowl is contaminated. Even the bowl is filthy. So everything has to be broken. That's a place that you don't, when you get into that place and got to continue to be broken, it doesn't happen overnight to where you get substance to come back into your life. Imagine all these things that you don't went through, all things you had to work for, all these things that you really lost sleep of and different things like that. And because of your stubbornness, God had to break you and everything had to come back out of you. See, you got to understand, these are a very place that you really don't want to be in. You really don't want to go. You really don't want to really deal with, because why? You want to keep on growing and enhancing, and God keep filling your cup for your cup to run over. But if God got to keep breaking you and keep breaking that cup, and what's in that cup, it runs out. He cannot use. My God Almighty, guess what? Now you got to go back and try to fill the cup back up again. These are processes. That doesn't happen overnight. These are processes. Doesn't happen within one day or even even a couple of months or a couple of weeks of being chastised by the Spirit of God. These are processes that you got to go through, my God, to get where you need to be at. One thing about being that broken, I've been there several times, you go through a stripping process. You begin to lose things. You begin to lose different things. You begin to be stripped. Because watch, you done attain and different things that God done bless you with. Guess what it does? It runs out. So you begin to lose. You don't begin to gain. How can you gain in a broken vessel? How can you gain in a broken cup? How can you begin to gain or begin to increase fluid in a broken bottle? When something is poured into something broken, what's going to happen? It's going to come out. Because why? It don't have no solid or substance for to contain what is getting poured in. Why would God want to pour something new into something broken? So we got to really take a step back and really look at different things and look at that whole picture. Amen. Now broken, it comes with humbleness, what evangelism was talking about, and how it began to make you humble. Well, be honest with you, you really don't have no choice at that point. It's either you're going to begin to humble and submit, or you're just going to quit the kingdom and walk away from God completely and just go and live your worldly life. You got a choice at that time, and it's black and white. It's either you're going to submit and come humble before the Lord, or you're just going to go ahead and do your thing and go on about your business. Amen. You don't want to continue to get into that place, saints of God. Just do what's right and live a life that is pleasing, not to man, but unto the Lord. Get in a Bible-teaching church that really holds you accountable. Some people don't like to be held accountable. Well, how can God help you if we don't deal with the truth about you? How can God help you if he don't deal with the truth about the things that you do? Don't deal with the truth about your content. Don't deal with the truth about your person, your perspective in different things. How can you be helped if the truth doesn't be dealt with about you? Come on, somebody. Then when God begins to deal with the truth about individuals, and the individuals can't take it. Every time, you know, truth comes up, they get upset, get problem, get mad. God can't deal with that. He got to. Now you're going through a broken process. Now you got to go through a process the way he got to take you and really show you about you, because we so stubborn to see us when we want to see everything else. God don't got time to take you all the way around the world and just say, oh, here come the burdens of life and here comes the burdens of the world. Had one of my ministers say yesterday, but God just hold me back and say, son, let them pour out their heart, my God, before we deal with that. Because at the end of the day, the burden of the world is not your responsibility. The burden of the world is God's responsibility. We are a vessel that has been used by God for a purpose. For a purpose, my God, to bring individual into light. And your first burden should be your first burden should be yourself, your life burden, who God called you to be, your family, who you are. You the one is in the mirror. Because at the end of the day, you could save everybody else and try to save everybody else. But why, you know, then your soul be lost. What the scripture declares, Father, I healed in your name. I delivered in your name. I did all this in your name. And the Bible declares, and God says, depart from me because your work was in iniquity. So we have to understand in this thing, amen, people make choices. And don't allow your choices to be according to what people feel and what things going on with people. I tell anybody, because I've been in this journey for a long time, from ever since a teenager. I've been in this journey for a long time. And things that I've seen and things that I know, if a person's life is not being blessed and God is not taking care of them, let me tell you something, they're making their own choices. Because the blessings and the things of God is for everybody. It's for, if God take you behind the scene off of some of these folks and the things that they got going on in their life, you will sit yourself down and stop trying to be the savior of folks. And you'll sit yourself down and worship God as you begin to see all this nonsense. Decisions that people are making, how they turn their back on God when they get a couple of stimulus checks. How they don't want to serve God and be faithful with God when they got a little money coming in. They can't come to prayer. They can't come to different things that really pump or begin to thrust their spirits, want to go and do what they want to do. Amen. And now they get caught up into the rut. And here come your old sanctified Christian goody-two-shoes self, and you want to become the savior, and that weight is too heavy for you because God never called you, my God, to try to pull that weight out, and that weight begin to pull you down. First savior is the savior of your life. The first responsibility in this world is your own soul and salvation. It's you. This is where God can be, where you can begin to examine the things that comes into your life. But you won't have to keep going into a broken place, a broken vessel. At the end of the day, be that humble vessel where you humble before the Lord. But if you have to continue to be broken, that means God got to replace you with something else. Or he going to remain, he sees something that he could rebuild within you. Then after you get replaced or you get rebuilt, you know the next process is going on. You ain't ready to go in. You ain't ready to run yet, because now he got to refill your cup, and that's over the process of time. So this is where the things that people begin to lose, your house is gone, your car is gone, the blessings that God had you going and going and going. Now your cup got to get refilled. Amen. So now for you can begin to attain all these things back, you know, the blessings that come back into your life. You don't want to get into that place. I remember Evangelist Nita was talking about that place, how she was scripted. She was broken. Then next thing you know, over some time period and over some time, things begin to come back. A cup is being refilled again. So once your cup get refilled, saints, stop getting into the place where it got to get rebroken again. That's a hard place. That's a place, my God, you can't do nothing but cry. That's a very difficult area, difficult place. I choose to bathe in the joy of the Lord, the presence of the Lord, the blessings of the Lord. And how I choose to bathe in it, number one, I just obey God. And number two, I worry about my house and worry about my own soul and salvation. Because at the end of the day, if I get the focus off my own personal life, amen, and I begin to lose focus on my alignment and connection with God because I'm all everyone else. Even though God called me to the nation and the world, and we minister to a lot of people all over the world, and I deal with a lot of people, but God never called me to be their savior. I'm not your savior. Who the savior? God is. I'm the one to just deliver messages and deliver teaching and instruction to bring you into a place of understanding for you can make your own decision. Because it's your own soul and salvation that needs to be saved. That's your choice. I made the choice. Amen? Many other people made the choice. So now you have to make the choice. It ain't my job to force you into that choice. God don't force nobody. The Bible declares, my God Almighty, he has the desire for everyone to be saved. He ain't going to force you. He ain't going to take control of you. It's your choice to walk into this. Saints of God, you got to stop being the savior and try to be the savior of the world. The Bible never told you to be savior of the world. The world got their own consequences. And you got to understand, you ain't the only minister, only preacher, only person that is on this earth that God is using. God got a whole team spread it out. And you best believe if it's a calling on somebody's life, they already heard it. But they choose not to obey the things of God. You got to learn how to love people and let them go and love them from a distance. Because what's going to happen, they're going to begin to be a burden on you and begin to cause you to lose focus. And now here comes you begin to drown because folks don't cause you to lose focus. Come on, somebody. You have to be focused in your life. Because at the end of the day, brother, that's not a good place. I tell anybody, stay away from that place. Stay away from that place. Let God continue to build you and to grow you. Let him extend. I want God to extend my cup to run over. And God say, my God, we got to send the construction team out there to build you a higher vessel for I can pour more into you, for you can hold some more. I want my cup to be increased, to extend, and let God continue to pour things in it. I don't want my cup to continue to be broken and broken and broken, and I continue to have to go through refilling and refilling and refilling. I continue got to come back and come back and come back. I continue got to repent and repent and repent. I continue got to get whooped and beat by God and spank and redirect and rebuke. Get it right. You won't have to do all this stuff. Stop playing these games. You won't have to do all this stuff. Amen? So we got to get it right, and we got to stop playing these games. You don't want to keep coming back to that place. Just stay humble. Just humble yourself down and stop being the person that want to be in control all the time. Control this, control that. My goodness, you just submit and be humble and understand that God is not here to try to control your life. He don't put people around you that he sends to try to control your life. He allowed them to be in your life to give you something that you don't have to continue, for you can continue to increase in your life. Come on, somebody. Nobody ain't trying to tell you what to do. Not even the Spirit of the Lord. He give you instruction what to do, but it's your choice if you want to do it or not. Whatever consequences that comes with it or don't comes with it, well, that's your decision. It's not my decision. It's your decision. All I can tell you, obey God. You don't obey God. Well, brother, I can't. You ain't going to be a burden on my spirit because of the decisions and the choices that we make, as people make, as individuals. Understand that, saints. You go and live your best life and stop right here trying to live your life and have a burden because of this world and these people having their decision. If you could see some foul stuff, God had us to be blessings to people, give them vehicles. You know, if folks done did, folks done tore up the blessing, tore up things, and I couldn't do nothing but say anything. I don't talk to my wife, but I don't say a different thing and just tell people. I tell my wife, this is why God don't give them nothing or give folks nothing. Because why? They don't even know how to treat. If you know why people are in this state, let me tell you something. When a person is restored and God then a break, let me tell you something. You best believe God don't bless them people. And the reason why they ain't blessed no more and God had to script them is something that they did. It's something how they handle the blessings of God. It's their choices that they made was irresponsible, and God had to script it. So he say, since you don't want to take care of the things that I'm giving you, and it's not no value to you of what I'm blessing you, let me take it away from you. I script you from it. Because I refuse to give which that is holy unto the dogs. That scripture, you look it up. He failed to do it. So you got to be concerned about your own soul and salvation. You're probably saying, Apostle, I've been taught like that. That's just selfish. Baby, let me tell you something. At the end of the day, call it selfish, call it what you want to call it. At the end of the day, the same way you made choices is the same choices each individual can make. All you can tell them, hey, you better choose life. If you don't want to choose life, I'm not going to follow behind you. I ain't running behind you. That's your choice. Because it's God got to will you in. I'm just here to do what God says do, but I'm not your Savior. The Savior is who? The Savior is the Lord thy God. Amen? That's who the Savior is. And we have to understand that. And once you get to the place, and you really understand, I've been on this walk. I've been walking with him. I don't see it from leadership down to the floor janitors and whatever. And one thing that you could put a nail in me and put a fork in me because I'm done. One thing that I know without a shadow of doubt, it doesn't matter if you're a preacher or ain't a preacher, you're a member, you're sitting in the pews, it doesn't matter what part. Once you come into the kingdom and you are real about your relationship with God, and you are real about the things of God, one thing God truly knows, that God is a keeper. He won't allow you to fail. He's an increaser. The only reason why you might not have it, you're going through some struggle, because, baby, you done made some choices. It's some choices, or you got it, or you reaping some things that you done sowed. Because one thing about it, it's not about God, and it's not about what God promised you that you can't keep. It's something about you. And you best to believe and understand that it's something that you don't sow. It's something that you need to get right. It's something that you need to take a step back and look at your own life, because no people cannot stop you from being blessed. I'm going to say that again. No people cannot stop you from being blessed. It's nobody's opinion can stop you from being blessed. It's nobody's decision can stop you from being blessed. It don't matter how many word curses that come in your life that tells you you ain't going to make it, that ain't going to happen, it ain't this, it ain't that. Baby, that can't stop you from being blessed. Y'all about to hear me. No things that comes in your life or oppositions that comes in your way, it cannot stop you from being blessed. Nothing. The Bible declares, whom I bless, amen, no man or nothing, amen, cannot curse it, cannot do anything. So whom God bless, at the end of the day, nobody cannot stop you. Can I tell you something? Even your haters can stop you from being blessed. Why in the world are you going to put your focus on everything else that cannot stop you from being blessed? The only thing could stop you
for being blessed, it is you. Y'all about to help me here. You the only one could stop you for being blessed. You the only one could stop the favor of God on your life. You the only one could stop things from rolling in into your. You the only one could stop, my God Almighty, the things of God for manifesting in your life. It ain't your friends. It ain't your haters. It ain't no backstabbing co-workers, them gossiping people. It ain't lies. How you know all this, Pastor? Well, baby, I'm not only talking biblical with you, but I'm talking experience with you. That I'm being lied on, they cannot stop me from being blessed. Pastor, I'm being falsely accused, you can't stop me from being blessed. Pastor, I'm being disrespected, you can't stop me from being blessed. Pastor, I'm face all kinds of challenges, it couldn't stop me from being blessed. Pastor, I'm face their word curses, you couldn't stop me from being blessed. Because whom God bless, y'all about to hear me up in here, whom God bless, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. But the only person could have stopped me and my household from being blessed, it would have been me. It would have been me. If I took my eyes off God and began to put focus on these people that don't even must pay my bills, on these people that don't even must support, people don't even must support the things of God, even the ministry of God, but the God always got something to say. I could have stopped my own blessing. God had to deal with me. He'd been on scene that you still focus on the cares of people. I got to break you in that area. I got to break that part of you because I can use that. I need you to focus and care about me. Saints of God, understand. You don't want to keep going back to that place of being broken. That is a hard, difficult, miserable, and that is a very tense place that you don't want to go. Keep growing into the things of God. Stop, got to go back to the table and got to continue to get a vessel refilled and refilled because God got to pour. You might not be broken, but God got to continue to pour you out because what's in your cup is no good and no value to him. So he got to pour you out and wash you. After he washed you, then he could begin to try to re-pour you back in, give you respiration. He could restore you. That's what restore represents. He got to re-pour back into you. And that don't happen overnight. Don't you be fooled that that happened. No, brothers and sisters, that don't happen overnight. It didn't happen overnight to get you into that place where you don't walk away from. So it ain't going to happen overnight for God to bring you back. No, you're going to have to prove to God. It's much more than lips. The first thing is confession. But the next thing is your actions. You're going to have to prove to God that you don't overcame. You got to prove to God that no longer you going back to that place no more. You're going to have to prove to God that you are ready and you are sincerely hearted, that you are ready to receive what he has and you're ready to go. You're going to have to prove that to God, baby. It's not no easy thing that but when God pour back into you, he just don't pour back into you. Just go ahead and do it and say, okay, I hear you. Now let me pour into no, you got to prove to God that you, no, you ain't finna get another shot at him, my God Almighty. No, sir, you're going to have to prove to God. That first one, that's on you. But that second one, you ain't going to get another shot. You're going to have to prove to God. And don't let the enemy think you back at that place. Don't let the enemy fool you. It's not easy to get back in that place with God. It takes dedication. It takes commitment. It takes being faithful, being loyal through whatever. It's not that easy. You have to prove yourself. So don't go to that place. Stay away from it. Always walk with humble. Be humble. Be submitted. And you begin to see God do increases in your life that will blow your mind. Back to you, Evangelist.
Praise the Lord. As always, we thank you for those encouraging words. Not just encouraging words, the teaching, the true unadulterated teaching, just being stripped and coming forth with the true word of God is so needed in this day and time. As Apostle said, you do not want to get to that. So what we taught you to do is prepare your heart, prepare your mind to stay into the place where you don't have to keep run over. When you sit and cry out to the Lord, Lord, fill me up till I overflow. You believe it, you see it, and you stay there. As we said yesterday, that we also stated that he will be starting a teaching tonight at 8 p.m. on our prayer line. So I would love, let me give you the number again so you can join in again. Have some people come on the line, because this teaching is necessary. It is necessary. It's to help you, not harm you. Some may get things. Some may sit and say, okay, well, you know, thank you, Lord, and stuff. Some may get in their feelings, but this is the thing. God wants you to get in your feelings, because he's calling us into a place of holiness, and we have to receive the proper teaching in order to get there. So with that being said, the number is 385-799-9620. Again, that is 385-799-9620, and that is 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So Karen and Sharon, reach out and bring somebody. Go down your contact list. Go on your Facebook page, however it needs to be, and let them know that God is moving and he is in the era of teaching. And when I say era, E-R-A, he is teaching. He is teaching. He's teaching his people. So ADM loves you, but trust and believe God loves you most. So we sit and tell you today, have a terrific Tuesday, and know that God is with you. Don't you forget that. He's with you. Just don't leave him, because he's not going to leave you. God bless you. Have a great day.